Live from Santa's Sack of Toys and brought to you by Shake Weight. Get strong, sexy, sculpted arms in 6 minutes a day. Makes a great stocking stuffer. Shake Weight. I'm Delmon.
And I'm Alicious.
And this is EQ2 Talk. This is episode number 13, and we are recording on December 18th. And why don't we have theme music yet, Allie?
I was busy trying to dig my way out from under all these lumps of coal.
Have you been receiving a lot of coal this year?
So far, yeah.
You know what that means?
That I've been naughty.
You've been a bad girl, Allie. A bad, bad girl. So when you haven't been being naughty, what else have you been up to?
Well, I've been working on a lot of the Frostfell quests. It took me a while to get rolling.
Are you not in the Frostfell mood yet?
No, I'm now in the Frostfell mood. I have, my little Frostfell outfit going. In fact, I have two that I alternate.
You have two outfits for Frostfell?
Yeah. I have my red and my blue.
Oh.
The blue one is sort of my snowflake look.
Do these go with different moods, or?
Yeah, I guess it depends on if there's someone else wearing the same dress, then I have to change into the blue one usually.
Oh, well, of course, if somebody else on the raid is wearing the same red outfit, God forbid that you wear the same thing.
Right. So, and they each have, you know, I sort of had a different mount for the snowflake one. I used the cloud mount because it makes her look more like a snowflake. But it seems to actually go pretty well with the Frostfell elf one.
Okay.
So anyway, I've been doing a lot of the Frostfell quests, and I discovered that, you know, those the ones from the Giggle Gibber guy?
Yes.
A Giggle Gibber's work is never done by a Giggle Gibber. Those you can do at each level, or not each level, but each level sort of range. You can get quest credit the first time you do the quest, and then you can repeat it 10 times at each level range. So I've been trying to get all of them because that would take a big chunk out of the quest that I still need to get to that 5,000 mark.
Right. I think you can get them at, what, 5, 15, 25, 35, 45, and onward.
Yeah, yeah, but I finished all of them from 45 to 85 on the four cities that I can do them in. So that's 20 quests. So I still have yet to go through the 5 to 35s.
Okay. And you only get quest credit, though, for the first one that you do, not for each of the 10 additional ones that you do in each city, right?
Right. Just the first one. And you get a Frostfell tree with each one. So as you can imagine, I'm sure I have at least 20 trees in my inventory. So I'm trying to figure out what to do with them. So for now, I've got bank space, so they're just being stored in the bank.
So you have quite a forest in your sack?
Why? Why do you have to do that?
So what have I been up to?
Yeah, Del, what have you been up to?
Pretty much the same, doing the Frostfell quests myself. The one that I found kind of interesting was the decoration additions in Gorwin. I was surprised when I completed that one that it gave me, and I use this in air quotes, a good tree.
Okay.
Because I would have thought Gorwin, now granted, Gorwin is a neutral city, but it is historically more evil than it is neutral. And with Halas being potentially more good than it is neutral itself, and Halas giving a good tree, I would have thought Gorwin, being the more evil of the two neutral cities, would have balanced out Halas's goodness and given an evil tree. I was a little surprised by that we have six cities. Four of them are awarding good trees, and only two of them are awarding the undead, bleeding-eye-looking tree.
Which I've never seen, by the way.
I think you can see that when you do the Freeport and Nariak ones, if you haven't done those yet.
I have not.
Okay. And the other thing that I have to say threw me for a little bit of a loop, so I'm not sure if other folks will encounter this, was that the Goblin awards a token currency. It's a little banner. Blue for the good cities and red for the not-so-good cities in Freeport and Nariak. And I hunted my bags up and down looking for these currency tokens. Guess where they were?
In the currency tab.
Exactly. So I realized that after I went and purchased more of them, going, hey, wait a minute, this is bugged, this is broken. So, yeah, Allie, I blew 3 plat, if you can believe that. I blew 3 plat in trying to figure out where these things were going.
But at least you didn't submit a bug report.
That is true, I did not. I withheld from that and said, let me test this one more time. Cost me a plat, which ticked me off to no avail. But, you know, my frugalness.
I do. Going back, also known as cheapness, the Gorwin tree reward, would you be satisfied if both Gorwin and Hallis gave you a choice, for example, between the good and evil?
Yeah, I think that would be fine. Like one of those windows when you get the quest reward, it's choose one of, and it has both of the tokens in there. Yeah, I think that would work, because that would even maybe give you the potential of being that true neutral city if you wanted to be that space in between the Kinos and Freeport side that helps balance things out. So yeah, I think that would be an acceptable addition. Or if they weren't going to do that, then I would think Gorwin should be awarding an evil-based looking tree.
I guess I don't get the historically Gorwin is more evil than neutral.
Well, when Gorwin first came in, only traditionally evil classes could start there. You couldn't have a Templar that started in Gorwin. So it was more on the evil side, because the game mechanics really don't support, at that time, supported true neutrality, where everything could be there. So the system was, well, lore-wise neutral, but mechanics-wise evil-based, in that evil things spun out of there.
I suppose I could see that.
That's where I'm coming from. So, yeah, the story is neutral, but it's kind of evil-ish.
But it sort of doesn't matter now, because you're neutral now.
Correct. Sort of. We're all neutral now, sort of.
Sort of. Well, not all of us.
I just think the unbalanced trees. There should be 3 good trees and 3 bad trees.
Okay.
Like you say, 2 good, 2 evil, and 2 that let you choose.
Yeah.
I'm going to feedback that.
Are you? Can you add something on there for me?
Sure. You want armadillo pets?
Yeah, just add one line at the end. That's all that's necessary.
That ain't going to happen.
I like to, you know, ride on as many coattails as possible.
We got some emails between last show and this show. Actually, quite a few emails.
Yeah.
So let's go over some of those now. And this first email I kind of have to apologize a bit about. We received it hours before we recorded episode number 12, and I didn't realize it was in the inbox at that time. So this one is a little bit older than most, and it comes from Tarvos of the Fallen server. And Tarvos writes, "Greetings again. I just remembered something I forgot to mention in my last email. When my fiancé and I play a new character, we tend to shut off adventure experience so that we can do as many of the quests that we can get access to in that level range. One of the things I'm thinking of doing with our latest set of toons is to leave them with adventure experience shut off and try to level just them on quest experience. Any thoughts on this idea would be appreciated. Signed, Tarvos of the Befallen, soon-to-be Oasis server." Thank you for the email, Tarvos. To answer a little bit about your question about shutting off adventure experience, yes, it certainly can be done to allow you to gain as much or to play through as much of the content that is in that area before moving on. Although that is a little bit dated by today's standards in the game, because we do have chronometering, where in the past you may have out-leveled something and completely not be able to go back and enjoy it as much when it is gray. Now with chronometering, you can do that at any point in the game. You can become almost any level that ends in a 5 or 0 and go back and play through that content. So I don't think I'd be too worried about missing out on stuff, because you could always go back and say, hey, gee, we didn't do that particular zone. Let's chronometer down to it, and we can go through it again and have a good time at that level, and maybe even a little bit a little bit overpowered because chronometering doesn't actually make you exactly the same level. You're still kind of in God mode because I think the game rounds up for you a little bit, where you might have access to AAs and spells that you might not have had access to when you were at that level. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. What, Allie, what do you think?
I would agree with the points that you made. We do have the chrono system. The only thing I would warn against is if you're looking to get all the quests possible in the game, there are some writs that you cannot get through the chrono mentoring system because they're at oddball levels, kind of in between, where you actually have to be exactly that level in order to get a particular writ. So you have to do that the correct way or have somebody else to mentor down to at exactly that level. Unless you're looking to do all the writs, I think that chrono mentoring can solve your problems just as easily.
We also had another email from Tarvos that actually came in during the correct publishing cycle of our podcast here, so let's go over that one next. Tarvos writes in this one, "Greetings, folks. First, I wanted to say thank you for your comments on my previous email. I also wanted to comment that from a new point of view, it seems that questing in the butcher block has gotten much more straightforward. Although it is no less potentially deadly, must remember not to anger the red mobs, it is a much more cohesive storyline. My fiancé and I aren't getting as much normal questing done now since Frostfell has arrived, but we are doing all of the Frostfell quests. Be well and happy hunting, signed Tarvos." I have to say, I don't necessarily agree with Tarvos' comments here. I thought both Frostfang and Butcher Block flowed very well together. I have to say, maybe I'm assuming that he did Frostfang before moving on to Butcher Block. I thought those were pretty well done quests in that they followed a storyline. They took you from quest hub A to quest hub B and moved you along and presented you a decent storyline. I think Butcher Block does the same as well. So I necessarily don't agree with his comment that that Butcher Block is much, much better than the previous zones.
Maybe he's referring more to the storyline.
Perhaps. I think Butcher Block, I guess maybe you're right, has one cohesive storyline, whereas Frostfang, see, you have all these individual NPCs who are asking you to do stuff for them, and in Butcher Block, it's one guy who sends you out and then moves you to the next one a little bit more than some of the other ones.
Yeah, that sounds right. I don't know. Maybe it's just that it's not quite so quickly that they're going through everything, that it seems more straightforward.
Ah, that's a good point, too, because I think you do slow down, and that was our experience, too, when we reached Butcher Block. You seem to slow down a little bit more.
Yeah.
There's less down-arrow mobs, so you're fighting a little bit longer. Your fights go on longer than they had in the past, and it's not you bang out these six mobs real quick. Sometimes you have to hunt around for them and search them out or fight your way to them. So that's a good point, too, Allie.
So thanks for that listener feedback. We have another email from our friend Metcroft on the Crushbone server. "Hey guys, I wanted to ask a quick question about AAs. I've hit 82 recently, and I'm at or around 112 AAs. I wanted to get your feedback on AAs and the importance of them. Del keeps saying levels are more important than AAs, but it seems like most people I talk to in games say the opposite. I've slowed down my leveling by changing the slider to 50%, which has been helpful in getting AAs faster. But I seem to be doing a lot of green quests. I wouldn't say I'm getting bored, but I'm wondering if my strategy is correct. Should I simply level up to 90 and then worry about AAs, or is, in your opinion, my strategy of changing the slider to 50% the right way to go? Curious on your thoughts. Signed, Metcroft." So, Del, what did you think? I have a feeling I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I'm going to stick to my guns with my previous comments about this. Is I do believe levels are greater than AAs. I think that AAs are there to enhance your spells and enhance your abilities. They are not the driving factor behind them. So I think that having access to the best spells, which would be your higher level spells and spells that you might get later on as you level along, is more important than having the enhancements to them. I think back to the days of when I was leveling my Troubadour, I immediately started putting points into Jester's Cap, and then I realized I didn't even have it yet. So I think that's why it's important to level first And again, as well as it provides you more opportunity, because you never see people in game shouting for a level 88 such and such a class. They want level 90s. You know, you advertise top level classes because that's what people are interested in. If given the opportunity of choosing between an 89 and a level 90 DPSer, of course I would choose the 90. I'm assuming he's going to have more. You don't see people advertising their AA levels. Again, I come back to AAs are there to enhance your abilities. They are not the driving factor behind your abilities.
Well, I think I would agree with you if that is the game that you play, if you do pickup groups, if you're kind of doing your own thing and you don't have a bunch of friends that you play with. I would say it really depends on what you do. If you have a bunch of friends that are around the same level, I would probably want to stick around the same level as my friends. If you don't do a lot of pickup groups, then it really doesn't matter how fast you get to 90. It kind of just matters what your friends are doing or people that you typically play with. If you feel like you want to set your slider at 50 because you want to unlock those AAs before you get too far ahead in levels, then I think you should do that. I don't remember what the AA cap was when 80 was the level cap. Do you happen to remember that, Dahl?
It was 200, wasn't it?
That sounds right. I don't recall, but 8212 AAs sounds like maybe you have a little more ground to cover on AAs, but I don't know. I guess it really depends on your goals. If you're not in any rush to level, not in any rush to see endgame, if you're not planning on raiding, then I don't think it really matters how fast you go on the levels.
I think if your playstyle is primarily solo, then yes, having more AAs would help you a little bit more, because some of those spells that you already have, perhaps you've enhanced their abilities through AAs, so therefore you're maybe able to take down content that's a little bit more powerful because you have access to them, especially if you're doing older content that was designed pre-AAs. So I guess I could see it maybe if you were soloing more, but I think when it comes to being in groups and raids, if you're doing that sort of stuff, then level is more important than AAs.
Fair. That's your opinion. That's fine. I think it depends on the person. But
absolutely. That's just my take.
Yep. Okay, so Metcroft actually had another email, but it was sort of more of a comment on the Alley Angle blog. One of the posts that I have up there from a couple of months ago is titled On Guilds, Population, and Cluelessness. And Metcroft posted a comment to that, which he also sent to the show, and so we wanted to read that. Hi, Allie. I have to say I really like this post. One of the things that turns me off about EQ2 is how insulated everyone is. Go to every major city in the game, and it's empty. With the ability of guilds to provide everything a player needs in the guild hall, we end up spending more time playing with our guildmates than seeing the larger world on our servers. I try to group with my guildies first rather than trying to pick up group a shard run, which can be hard these days. It's a real shame and, in my opinion, hurts the greater EQ2 community. A couple of ways I'd change this. One, move crafting back to the cities. Allow guild crafting materials to be accessible in the cities. Two, get rid of brokers in the guild halls. Make people go to cities to sell their stuff. It will generate more traffic and perhaps more player-to-player trade. On the downside, it will also create lag in the cities. Thanks for listening. Signed, Metcroft. I wanted to say thank you for reading the Alley Angle blog, first of all. I don't know how many people actually read it, but it's nice to know that somebody is. And thank you very much for the feedback. I think this is one of those topics that came up and all of the, at the time when guild halls came in, there was a lot of the sky is falling mentality going around about the towns or the city hubs becoming ghost towns, essentially. Response to that I mean, there isn't really anything you can say. This is a new thing that's coming into the game. You just have to sort of let it play out and see what's going to happen. Looking back, can we say now, Del, that guild halls have basically emptied out all the cities and made guild halls and guild life the more central hub of EQ2 community?
Yes, I would agree with that, although I would wonder, though, which is more important. I say that because, yes, the cities have been evacuated in favor of guild halls, I guess, because guild halls do provide a lot of the service. I disagree that they don't provide everything. There are still a few things that can only be done in cities, such as chronomentoring as an example. But yes, it's moved the population from one location to another, but really, what's the difference? And I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek. The difference is you don't see these people. We know that they're out there. We see them in level channels. And we still see guild flags at raid spots or group instance zone-ins. We see these flags, so we know there's people out there. Whether or not you see them in a city, okay, not seeing them might give you the feeling that, gee, they're not around. But they are. So is seeing them really all that important, or does it just give you a warm and fuzzy that they're out there? However, the downside of that is that it, or the, excuse me, not downside, the other side to that is it's promoted guilds to be the central core gathering point. That's good. That has its good points as well, too. So I'm not sure empty cities are a bad thing, other than they don't give the warm and fuzzy that you see in an MMO or would expect to see in an MMO with a lot of people standing around.
Well, I think I agree and disagree to some extent. I get what you're saying about you don't need to see them on the one hand because they're there and you can see them in the level channel and blah, blah, blah. But it's more than just warm and fuzzy, I think, to see people interacting. The warm and fuzzy, I guess, being knowing that the population is there, but not really getting any tangible benefit from it. I guess that's what you mean by warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, let me ask you, when if say guild halls didn't exist and the cities were still the central rallying point for that sort of stuff, for brokerizing and trade skilling and mendering and all those other sort of things that might go on in a guild hall, were you really interacting with other people at that point? Or were they just standing next to you at the broker?
I was interacting with people.
Okay. I wasn't.
I mean, I actually would get, you know, random tells from people walking by. You know, there was always that one guy who was throwing out shards, like the mystery shard giver, you know, and then you end up in a little conversation or you see somebody shouting. There used to be the days where you'd see somebody shouting for, which you wouldn't need a druid anymore, but, you know, shouting for a druid so they could port somewhere. I don't know. I think I get where you're coming from. Guilds, it's a good thing that guilds have become more central in one point of view. But in another point of view, they've sort of sucked away the home for, or the gathering place for people who don't belong in a guild yet, people who aren't in a guild, solo players, new players, whatever. Also, I can see a benefit to seeing somebody by being able to inspect their gear or being able to be inspected by somebody else, or to show off some new great piece of gear that you just got on a raid last night or whatever. I think that guild halls, you know, as much as you say, well, guild halls don't provide everything. Okay, yeah, there's chronomentoring in the cities. Well, it takes me about 3 seconds to zone over, get my chrono level, and zone out. And that's about how long I spend in Kino's Harbor at any given moment, unless I happen to be AFK. So I don't know. I mean, I could see the pluses and minuses to both. Do I want to go back to the days where there was no guild hall? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I think that the two suggestions that Metcroft gives or offers, I think that's a good starting point. Do something to bring back the populate, a reason to go to the cities for people who maybe don't who aren't members of a guild yet, or maybe people who are looking for a group, but they don't want to just take their chances on a pickup. They want to check out who is of my sort of caliber so that I know I'm not going to pull aggro and die 10 times during this group. You know, being able to inspect people.
Let me say, too, my point of view may be jaded a little bit in that I still do use Kino's Harbor as my base of operations more so than my guild hall. I have to say, I really only use my guild hall for two things. Would be, one, jumping off to get to a rally point for a raid. And secondly, trade skilling. I find zoning into my guild hall, because of the way they decorated it, it makes it a lag fest for me. So I actually avoid my guild hall as much as possible because of that. It takes me so long to zone in, so long to load all the assets for it. Mm-hmm. If I'm jumping around, say doing the Frostfell quests as an example, I'm primarily doing that through Kino's Harbor and the bells. I'll actually say take a few extra moments to run across the zone to get back to the world bells rather than zone back into my guild hall. I find that from Kino's Harbor, I can get within a few steps to wherever I need to go. If I do need a druid ring or portal, I go to Enchanted Lands where they're not all that far away from the zone in area and run over and click them that way. So I am still using the cities quite often. I only use it for those two things, porting for raids, during raids when we're swapping to zones, and trade skilling so I can use the Harvest Depot and have all the trade skill things there nearby. So I am still using the cities quite often. So I do see a fair amount of people who are there. I'm not sure if they're doing it because of the same reasons I am, or like you say, are not in a guild. So maybe I'm so used to continuing to use the cities as my major point. That's why I'm not so worried that I don't see people there. I do see people there. I see myself there a lot.
Okay, let me ask you this. Where do you log out at the end of the night?
Kino's Harbor.
Okay, where do you check your mail?
Kino's Harbor.
Where do you check the broker?
Kino's Harbor.
Where do you go to the bank?
Kino's Harbor.
Okay, so you do all of your stuff except for trade skilling in Kino's Harbor.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I give you credit then, because I don't. I pretty much live in my guild hall unless I'm on a raid or on my way somewhere to do something that I'm already in the middle of doing. And I don't avoid my guild hall because it's not really, I guess maybe it's either it's not as laggy as yours, or I just don't have as much lag as you do, because I think when I was, when we were in the same guild at one point, and it was pretty laggy in there, but it wasn't so laggy that I wouldn't zone there.
And that is, it's not my antisocial behavior that's leading me to do this.
Right. No,
it is truly the lag that I get there. And again, because like you say, I can bank, broker, and mend, and jump off through the world bell to wherever I need to get to pretty darn quickly. And chronomaging is there too, so I'm always nearby that as well.
I didn't mean to imply that you're antisocial, Del. I apologize.
Well, I don't want any of my guildmates who are listening to think, ooh, listen to that uppity snippety guy. He won't come in and zone with us. It is truly a technical reason and not a game-related issue. Kino's Harbor fortunately has everything that I do need. So when you ask, where do I zone out? I always zone out sitting right in front of the broker, because that's the first thing I check when I log in.
Yeah.
So I can undercut those people.
Of course, there had to be a reason. Okay, well, anyway, thank you very much for that post, Metcroft. And if anybody wants to check out the Ellie Angle blog and read that blog post, you can get there from our website. There's a little link off on the side to the Ellie Angle.
Our next email is from, I think, a person, this is their first email to us, would be from Lord Thurston. So Thurston writes, "Hello, Delmon and Alicious. Lord Thurston Bloodhowl here from various servers. It's pronounced Thurston, like the old man from Gilligan's Island. I just found the show, and I enjoy it. I really like the Who Am I and the current intro format. I will be a little upset if Allie ever does make an intro, because I won't be able to hear her excuse for not making one, and I enjoy the random bits of music. I enjoy the Allie angle and think it highlights various points of the game and lends to a good conversation about older parts of the game. I wish you would give out the Allie angle question one show before to encourage listeners to give their top three also. Now to talk real quick about the Show Us Your Noobs. You aren't noobs, but I wouldn't want advice from a noob. I would want to hear helpful hints about some of the changes in the content you've noticed or about content you have forgotten about and are redoing. I've also been playing this game too long, and I still feel that I just wander around and know so very little about the lore. Well, I'm enjoying the show, so thank you both so much. P.S. Now that we have sitting in chairs, I want ratongas with guns and warm cookies. Let me just make one quick comment about Thurston's email. There is a reason why Allie doesn't do the intro, and it's because what folks don't hear quite often is Allie giggling through the intro. And if you didn't know, and you probably won't because a lot of it was lost to due to editing, the intro to this episode took us probably almost 10 minutes to record about 10 seconds worth of humor.
I think it was like 30 minutes of practice.
Yes, I had a hard time saying live from Santa's sack.
Sack of toys.
Oh, sack of toys. I'm sorry.
And then yes. Let's not forget all the S's in that intro.
And shake waiting.
Santa's sack and the sexy sculpted arms.
I had a hard time with all the S's, yes.
Stocking stuffer.
Fuckering feckatath.
Okay.
So, and yes, Thurston, yeah, we wouldn't want advice from noobs other, noobs either, other, or other noobs either. But, yes, we had a lot of fun with that. We haven't been doing as much noobing as we had in the past. We should get back to that at some point.
Yeah, we should.
And ratongas with guns? Okay, as long as they don't shoot me.
Now, how would guns fit into the lore of EQ2?
I don't know. Aren't they in the other game?
I don't know what other game you could possibly be referring to.
Cityville.
Oh, do they have guns in Cityville?
I have no idea.
They do not.
Okay. You know that. I don't.
I know. I know all Facebook games.
But I also would like some warm cookies, too, so.
All right. So we had another email from Ukabee. Okay. She tells us how to pronounce it. Ukabee. This time. Thankfully, we can stop stumbling over that. If you guys remember, Ukabee was our very first listener email, so it's always great to hear from Ukabee. And here's her letter. I have to tell you about Ukabee's unofficial welcome to the Unrest server. Why was I up at 4:30 playing EQ2? Well, I got paged for work and thought while I was up, I might as well see if my characters had all made the trip safely from Najina to Unrest. Ukabee, well, the last thing she had done was Protector's Realm in Sibylla's. Don't laugh. It's a zone we can do with a group of 6 to 8. Woke up outside the instance, right at the feet of whatever that named guy is, right outside the door, and boom, dead before she realized where she was. Welcome to Unrest. To add insult to injury, the UI settings window popped up along with the revive one. And since my screen looked odd, I chose to load my settings instead of reviving, which made the revive window go away. So I thought I would just camp and be more aware the next time around. No/camp available while you're dead. No camp desktop while you're dead either. I was really leery of exiting without camping because with the merge and all, I didn't know if that would have some adverse effect. But with no choice, I crossed my fingers and hit the button. Then zone back in. Still dead, but at least this time with a revive window. Lesson learned, always camp at home, especially before a server merge. Signed, Ukabee. Thank you for that story. That's awesome, and welcome to Unrest. And we would never laugh at doing Protector's Realm. It's an awesome cash run. Right, Del?
Absolutely. You can make a lot of money, and the less people you can take in there, the even more money you can make. I still run that zone occasionally when I'm in the mood to make a little bit more extra money because I've had to undercut people. These new Najina people
have no clue what they're doing on the broker.
Absolutely, man. They are selling stuff dirt cheap. You were talking last episode about this, how I was selling stuff for dirt cheap.
Oh, man. It's like a whole new world. What's going on? I go to reprice my stuff. And we've got all the Unrest people are way up in the plat and whatever. And all the Najina people, you could see who they are because there's this huge gap. And then they're all way down into the gold. So Well, I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm not even going to try to sell anything because we need to get onto this merge. You know, the merge needs to shake itself out here so the pricing can settle out. I'm telling you, I'm sitting there looking at Auction Channel. They're freaking out at the prices of our Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3 raid pieces. They're freaking out. And things are going dirt cheap. I mean, you see a Tier 3 piece go for 400 plat. You're thinking, damn, why didn't I get in on that action? Right?
Absolutely. These Najina people are cutthroats.
They're cheap. They're used to everything being cheap. Man, we should have switched over to Najina. We could have gotten some Tier 3 pieces for nothing.
I had to go through 6 buckets worth of stuff and undercut everybody. I don't think there was one thing I didn't have to lower the price on. So I'm already at 12 copper. There's not much room to go down on some of this stuff.
You know, in fairness, we're basically joking here. It's not the Najina people that are cheap. It's just the simple fact that when you merge 2 servers that have entirely different levels of the economy, but, you know, the economy is set by the population, essentially. So when you're merging 2 different worlds that have 2 different price points, I guess, it doesn't really match up. So they're going to be broke. They're not going to have enough money to afford the stuff that we're selling because everybody on Unrest, everything's so elevated. That's why everything's being priced so high. That's why everybody has so much money. So I think we just have to see how this whole thing plays out.
You're right. It will balance itself out over time. The market will correct itself. I have to say, though, it is nice to see a lot more people around, a lot of new names.
Yes, it is. It is very nice. And it's nice to see different people interacting in Level Channel. And there, it's funny to watch. I mean, I don't really participate in Level Chat, but I like to watch and see what's going on. I mean, because I know some of the personalities on Unrest, and you can see who the personalities on Najina were, and they're sort of trying to find their place on Unrest. And it's funny to watch the interaction, getting to know each other.
Absolutely. I have to agree with that. The first 24 hours of level 1 to 9 and level 80 to 89 chat, there seemed to be a lot of people who were just talking to hear themselves talk. Like this, it was this schoolyard when they merge all the schools together and they're trying to figure out who the new people are. And it was going back and forth. I mean, it degraded to one point. I think they were arguing whether or not Protector's Realm is abbreviated TPR, the Protector's Realm, versus PR, Protector's Realm. And you literally had people going back and forth on this, I swear, just so they could hear themselves talk, so that other people knew around that they were one of the kingpins of Unrest. And they ruled the Level Channel.
Right. It's funny. These are things we didn't think about with the merges. These little small things like the economy and the, you know, the abbreviations for zones, which Unrest people are used to a certain way. And I'm sure Najina has their own way of talking about things and ways of doing auctions and things. It's a different set of social etiquette, I guess. It's a whole new world with all these people together. So it's kind of fun to watch. It's fun to watch.
It absolutely was. Talk about people watching. Tune watching is a whole new hobby going on right now on a post-merge server. It's a lot of fun just to sit back and watch and see people bicker over things that have no relevance to anything.
Yeah. So
everybody knew what Protector's Realm was. They didn't have to argue about it for 45 minutes.
Well, I think they wanted to see who was going to win. Should we call it PR or TPR?
It was picking a new leader of the schoolyard, basically.
Yeah, posturing and whatnot. But that's fun. It was a lot of fun. That's, I guess, a word of warning maybe to people who are merging later. You know, if you're married to your economy, you might want to check out XAM and see what the prices are like on other servers. You can see sort of the median prices for things on all the servers, the high, low. Check out if the incoming server has a higher or lower economy than what you're used to, and you'll know whether you're going to be broke or not. So we did have one more quick note, and thank you, Ukubi, by the way, and thank you also for giving us your name pronunciation so we don't have to keep sounding goofy. So we did have one other quick note that I received on the Alley Angle blog, another comment, the first comment on the Mugging Delmon post, which was sort of a blow-by-blow description of making the Delmon mug, which you can find on our website as well, which, by the way, are still available through the end of December. So get your bids in. The note says, and it's quoting me from the blog, Q-tips are awesome. Maybe they would make a good future show sponsor. This person who remains anonymous says, it was several shows in before I caught on that the sponsors weren't real. Yes, we don't have the Shake Weight sponsoring us this week.
Wait, I've been receiving checks from our past sponsors, haven't you? What do you mean they're not real? I'm sitting here using a Shake Weight right now. Look at my strong, sexy, sculpted arms in just 6 minutes. Makes a great stocking stuffer. Shake Weight.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for that note, Anonymous. So, Del, we promised last time we were going to have our little Frostfell wish list for this week. What do you want for Frostfell?
Well, I spent a lot of time making my list, checking it twice. And the first thing on my wish list would be episode number 8. Okay, the real first thing on my wish list would be that EQ2 players would be fixed and that we would have some form of workable functionality out of that. And in conjunction with that, have up-to-date leaderboards with achievements as well. I think EQ2 players has been broken long enough. It's free and worth every penny we're paying for it. It seems such a great idea when they invented it, but it seems the execution of it has not been as great as it could have been. So I would really like to see that revamped. I think that's a great way, especially if they want to continue with this free-to-play methodology of advertising and motivating players and letting them check out your game. It's sad to see a corporate website be broken for as long as it has been. It's not a good PR. It's not good advertising for your product when a component of it that helps advertise it doesn't function. And I used to love it. It used to be a great resource. And then slowly over time, it's deteriorated into junk, is a good way to put it now, I think. So yeah, I would very much like to see that fixed.
It's virtually useless right now. I think that's an excellent, excellent wish list item, and I wish I had thought of it. But I did see something, mumblings, didn't I, on the dev tracker maybe, about doing something with EQ2 players?
Yeah.
What are they calling it now?
I think they still call it EQ2 players, aren't they?
No, I think it's just something else. EverQuest 2, whatever. I don't know. There's the leaderboards on there.
There was a post, I think, by Zolrath, and he had made a comment at Fanfare last year about working on new XML feeds. Up until now, Alakazam, or EQ2Zam, has been the exclusive recipient of data feeds from SOE. And I do know that they at Zam spend considerable amount of time massaging those feeds into workable data. So I think SOE has been putting some effort into better XMLing that information and making it so that it might be more consumable by anybody who wants to write an API to it. Don't have too much more detail than that, but I think exposing their data and letting people design the tools around it themselves is certainly better than having the corporation do it and not really do a very good job at it and letting it languish as much. I think if players had access to it, they would design some really cool interfaces for folks from old EverQuest days. You remember the Magello site. And I think that's what a lot of folks dreamed that EQ2 players was going to be. And it started out like that a little bit, but then just kind of seemed to trip over its own feet maybe along the way.
Yeah, it's been a really long time since I've seen the leaderboards function correctly. I just want to know where I am, if I'm still above you on the quest count.
I believe you are. I do believe you are.
I know I am. All right. I know I am. I just want to see it.
You just want to be able to print it and frame it and mail it to me.
Exactly. Or draw giant red circles and email it to you. Kapow!
Yes, I remember that. Thank you for that Kapow email.
Well, I am beyond selfish. My first item on my wish list is a preserved arm wrapping from the Preserved Mummy Wrappings collection, which I think has been in my journal since DOF launched. I have this funny feeling. Actually, I wrote this before I checked one more time, but I was thinking that that little item has been removed from the game or somehow magically disappeared off of the shiny loot table. But there's actually one available on the broker for something like 180 plat. So either someone's been hoarding it or someone brought it over from Najina and put it up, or it's actually still in the shiny table, which is good news for me.
I'd like to know, why haven't you bought it off me for 180 plat yet?
It's not you, Del.
Oh.
If I'm telling you, if that was you, I'd be all over that. I'd be lording over you all the bets that you've welched on and all the things that I've given to you so that you would give that to me out of guilt.
I'll let it go for 150 plat. I'm feeling very Frostfelly. I'll take it down 30 plat for you.
Right after you mail me my adornments, huh?
That ain't going to happen.
I know it's not. 50 silver. So anyway, totally selfish first item. I apologize for that, but
nothing wrong with being greedy around the Frostfell time. The next item that I had on my wish list would be a change to the UI or a change to the way the game behaves today. I would very much like a confirmation box to pop up before being pulled into an instance.
Today, oh, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah. When you're in a group or in a raid, there are certain zones that will pull you in to the instance as long as you're in the connecting zone to it, which I do think is a very valuable feature, and people like it. They do enjoy it because you often hear, hey, does this zone pull us in? Because I just zoned in to wherever, and it'll suck me across the whole zone so I don't have to run across and make the group wait. So I do think being pulled in is a great function, but there are times when I'm talking to a quest NPC or reading quest text that I'm very interested in reading, and my groupmate clicks on a zone in and pulls me into the instance before maybe I can finish that NPC dialogue or get the quest update that I need because I got to finish clicking it. I like the functionality of being pulled in. I just wish we had a confirmation box to tell us, hey, so-and-so is pulling you into a zone. Do you want to go now? Or no, I don't want to go now.
Well, I think I can totally see how that would be really annoying, especially if you are in the middle of a conversation. That happens to me a lot, getting pulled into raid or whatever. I'm in the middle of a conversation with someone, and somebody decides to click the door right in the middle of my sentence, and I have to retype it all, or I have to figure out where I'm at after like 10 minutes of zoning in. So I can see that being annoying, but the being able to zone other people in from across the zone, I think that's a really nice feature. And also, I like it because I can zone into an adjoining zone and go AFK while somebody else goes to the zone in to pull me in while I'm busy getting a snack or whatever in the kitchen. So I kind of like that. And to have the confirmation box would sort of defeat that purpose unless you have it time out, where it's the answer is affirmative unless you choose otherwise, which maybe that's what you're talking about.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not saying get rid of the functionality because I think a lot of players like it, and I certainly like it myself. There are just times when it's most annoying is when you're talking to an NPC. I understand, like you're saying, is talking to a person is one thing because you got to retype it all. But if you were talking to an NPC and getting a quest update or trying to get a quest starter from them,
mm-hmm.
You're now completely unable to finish that because you have been pulled away from them.
Yeah.
At least when it's a player, you can, I got to retype that whole line over again. You can. Yeah. You do have that option. With an NPC, you're kind of SOL at that point.
Yeah.
And unable to do it unless you say, okay, hold on, guys. I got to run back across the zone to talk to that NPC to get either the quest starter or my update so that we can even run this zone. So at this point now, you've completely defeated the whole purpose of being pulled in, because now everybody's going to stand around and wait while they run back and then run all the way back again. So
that's a good one. I wonder if how hard that would be to implement. Maybe if you attach it to something you buy at Station Cash, they might do it. Sorry.
No.
I'm sorry.
No. I want it.
Sorry. Would you buy it for Station Cash, though, if that were offered?
No.
All right. So my next thing is it my turn?
Yes, your turn.
Okay. Less brawler loot on raids. FFS.
I love that one.
There's just too much. I'm sorry. Are there really that many brawlers in the game? I mean, is this a message that there aren't enough brawlers in the game? Is this a message that I need to roll a brawler? Come on now. Knock it off. No more brawler loot. Well, not no more. Just less. Less than, 80% of the drops, please. Thanks.
What is it about brawler loot? Because I hear everybody complain about it, but then every time people post on the forums about it, SOE comes along and says, no, look at this. We have the statistics of all the drops, and it's no more common or uncommon than everything else.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. But if you want to disprove it, come on a raid. Seriously, come on a raid. I'm telling you, our brawlers, first of all, we don't have any brawlers that actually raid with us. We have somebody who plays a healer whose main used to be a brawler, but we kind of need the healer more, so he has to shelf the brawler. That toon has never set foot in a raid zone, I think, and he's geared up, down, and sideways. We practically have to foist this gear on him because we don't, people are averse to transmuting things, but it's ridiculous. Come on! SOE, you're welcome to join my guild for a night. Come on a raid, and I'll prove to you that brawler loot is like 80% of the loot. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Never mind. I don't want to get nasty, but just go on a raid or two, or 5 or 20, and you'll see.
I agree our raid has the same similar anecdotal experience that you are having as well. I have no numeric data to back it up, but it does seem every other day there is more brawler loot. And maybe it's because there's just less brawlers, but they're getting an equal portion of the drops. They're just a less played class, because certainly you might be rolling with several chain healers or several plate healers or leather healers or something like that, but you're probably only rolling at most, with one leather tank. He or she is almost going to always win that loot, and then the next time it drops on an equal percentage, it's junk at that point because your one already has it. Our guild is in the same boat, Ellie. I agree with you, but the vendor keeps telling us otherwise.
I can understand saying, like for me personally, my problem is there are so many scouts in my raid that we have to all be going all in on pieces that everybody else gets to get for minimum bid. We have to fight each other for them because there's so many scouts, and that scout piece only drops once every so often. But I'm sorry. I just don't. I mean, if I could go, I could start writing down or tracking the drops, and I have no doubt in my mind that brawler loot would be a higher percentage than all the other archetypes.
Maybe that is an experiment we need to run.
I think we need a new matrix.
Let's get some Excel spreadsheets up and running on that.
All right, I'm all over it. I'm all over it. Anyway, so yeah, less brawler loot, FFS.
The next item that I had on my Frostfell wish list would be a tab for trade skilling gear, the same way that we have a tab for appearance gear.
Ooh, I like that one.
Because I have a full suit of the trade skilling gear from the Island of Mara, along with all the drops from the trade skill instances as well. So I am completely decked out head to toe in trade skill gear. So when I'm not wearing that, that is 10 slots of non-stackable stuff that I have to put into the bank and almost occupy a fair amount of a bag dedicated just to that. I understand that when the appearance tab came out, there became a whole slew of tabs for this and way other things that they wanted. But I do think that you have adventure, you have appearance, and you have trade skill. The trade skilling is on par with those other two in terms of gameplay aspect. So it would be a huge bank-saving space if I could take all that trade skill gear out of the bank and put it on that tab. And the other thing is, when I go to trade skill, I got to basically disrobe, get all that stuff out of the bank, put that the other stuff in its place, swap. You spend a certain amount of time swapping all this stuff in and out. So
that's why I think, there's macros.
I know, but you got to spend the time to make the macro.
So what? You do it one time, and then it's a click of a button.
True, but if it was all in on the tab, then I wouldn't have the need for a macro and all the bank space.
Okay.
I'm accomplishing two birds with one stone.
Here. Okay, so what do you do then with the effectiveness of certain things on those pieces? Like, how do you tell, would you have some sort of a button that you click to say, okay, I want to wear my trade skill gear now, so this takes priority?
Well, the trade skill gear that has stats on it, those stats should only come in effect when you have a trade skilling thing targeted. Or when you're harvesting. Okay, so I haven't thought this completely
through. All
these
things, right, all these things are, so you're going to have like, so when you're fighting a mob or something, and there's harvesting in zones, kind of, like, technically picking up an item is harvesting.
Right, but you're not harvesting and fighting at the same time.
No, you're not. But, like, if you're harvesting a shiny, now do you have less defensive abilities? This is starting to get a little complicated.
Well, no. Technically, a shiny is a gathering, and it's not really a harvest. But I understand your point, say, when you're bent over a piece of wood and you're getting hit on the backside, you're right, you're not going to be as defensive as you used to be because now your trade skilling tab is being applied. Okay, so maybe that's not a good example. Or maybe that's just the risk you take if you put the stuff in the trade skill tab. That's a risk you take. I don't know. But that's what I've learned. I haven't thought all the mechanics. It's a Frostbelt wish list. It's not a design spec.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm very sorry to...
I'm asking Santa Glug for something really cool here. And, you know, now you're fighting technicalities. You want to make procedure calls. And how are you going to...
Sorry. I didn't mean to burst your bubble.
Here I am on Santa's lap, telling him what I want.
Oh, now you're making me feel bad.
And you're pulling out Excel spreadsheets on me.
I'm just trying to envision how this would work and seeing possible exploits involved, and I don't like it.
Frostbelt is not about how things work. It's about what I want. and what game update is going to be put in.
Oh, okay. Just get right on that.
So what's your next one?
All right.
Because I'm so ready to pick it apart.
Well, I'm getting better as we go. I mean, this is getting more in-depth as we go. So my next one is I want more warped wood.
We already have enough warped wood. Next.
Okay, there's no such thing as enough.
Perhaps when you're a class that has to buy their DPS, there's never enough.
That is correct.
But yes. I, as a Templar, have no need for warped wood.
I know you don't, but it's my list.
Okay.
You get your trade skill gear tab, I get my wood.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Allie needs more wood. You heard it here first.
What's your next one?
My next one's a little softer than some of my past ones. My past ones are very tangible items. Now I'm kind of getting into some of the metaphysical changes that I'd like to see. One is I'd like never-ending XP. Give me a reason to keep logging in. Now, certainly as Sentinel's Fate launched, there were reports of people being level 90 right off the bat within a couple hours. And slowly after that, people started gearing up and getting all their AAs and whatnot. At this point, we have a full kind of year to digest this content. I would say the slightly active player, if that makes sense, the active player is reaching 250 AAs well before the end of that year-long cycle. There is less motivation to log in all the time if there's nothing to accrue. I'm just running the same instances, hoping for masters, maybe getting some achievement for the sense of urgency doing it once. I wish there was a reason to keep people logging in every day, other than if they're the raiders logging in at their specific raid time and then logging out. If we had never-ending XP, something to always work towards or continuously work towards, I think it would promote folks logging in more and playing more. I think when we have a finite, you get to the top level, and then there's this fixed amount of AAs to earn. Once you reach that, it's, well, I'm done. I've kind of, quote-unquote, won the game. So if there was something that kept us coming back, something to accrue all the time, and I think XP would do that. In EverQuest 1, you had a huge amount of AAs, and there was many, many of them to earn along the way. We have a finite amount, and once you reach that cap, you're done. You're finished. There's nothing more I can earn other than platinum, really, in the game or other forms of currency. So I think that demotivates players and gets them disinterested. So I think if we had something to continually keep earning, more XP, something to do with it, that people would keep logging in and they'd keep wanting to play, they'd want to adventure more. Once you reach that cap, you're done, you've won, you move on. That's why I think never-ending XP is a good thing.
That's interesting. Let me ask you this, just playing devil's advocate. I think it's kind of an interesting idea, but what do you think of the achievements system? Do you think that sort of fills that role, and that maybe that was the goal of that system?
Absolutely, and that was something that's on my honorable mention Frostfell list. It didn't make my top list that we kind of chose as a cutoff, is we need more unique achievements. A lot of the achievements are very cookie-cutter-ish, that it's sense of urgency, flawless kills on raids, kill X amount of mobs, run this instance in under this time limit. They're all repetitious repeat calls of the same function, and they are completable. I think we need more of them and more variety to them. So yes, that would enhance that as well, give something that people can work towards and challenge themselves on. I just feel that a lot of the achievements that we have today are so similar, they're so boring. And some of them, to be honest, aren't really achievements. They're too easily accomplished. To run a zone in under an hour, there's only a few zones that are a challenge. Everyone else, you could, the first time you were going through there, sometimes you were completing them in an hour. So I think either they need to be made to be more of a challenge and therefore more of an achievement.
I don't think that's going to happen, but I mean, they spent all this time making things easier.
I agree. I'm just saying. Back and,
yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but I think that's very sad. So I have a whole bunch of other ones, but what was our cutoff? Because I guess I wasn't really observing the cutoff.
Well, I really had one more. I think I picked my top five, and there's one more that I had. And it's very soft, too. It's stay true to what they said, that EQ2X and EQ2 Live are going to be separate. Stop blurring that line. That's my Frostfell wish, is that they said they were going to be different. They're going to be different streams. They're going to be different games. And this past year, we did see examples of, well, a little bit more gray area, like when they threw those cheap arrows that you could buy from Station Cash on the fly. Well, that starts to blur the line a little bit again. Stay true to what you said. Keep EverQuest 2 Extended and EverQuest 2 Live separate from each other when it comes to that marketplace and Station Cash sort of stuff. Don't bang us over the head constantly on Live with Station Cash stuff that really should be designed only for the Extended stuff and where that RMT and free-to-play stuff is. Keep them separate. Those of us who are paying a subscription chose to pay the subscription for a reason. We didn't want to play in that type of stuff. So don't let that stuff bleed into the EQ2 Live game.
That's a good one. I have several others. One is, well, I guess some of them sort of interact with each other. One is more regular, long-term, high-quality smart players. That's maybe asking too much. And I don't know how to accomplish that, but that's what I want. I don't know if that's going to happen, especially if they keep making the game more easy. Another thing I want is more interaction between players, which we kind of touched on a little bit with the Guild Hall conversation earlier.
Okay.
Which maybe goes hand in hand a little bit with more players. And another thing that is maybe a little more substantial, a challenging expansion on many levels, where one that will leave people enough to do to last the entire year and still have things on your list to do when the next expansion is launching. Because basically what we always see is this, well, I shouldn't say always, what we have seen of late has been 6 months down the road, everybody's completely bored out of their minds and just running around doing random things just to see what they can get away with, like trying to duo instances, level 90 instances. I mean, that's fun with, or no healer groups or things like that. Or I have people in my guild that have leveled up to 90, like four different alts. And it seems like every time you turn around, they have another alt rolling. And I am grateful that they're still playing the game, but I'm wondering why. If they're that bored after 6 or 4 months or whatever, and here we are at the tail end of the year, waiting and waiting and waiting. We have to wait another couple of months still for the expansion, and people are bored out of their minds. So could we have a more challenging expansion on many levels, not just the high, high end game, which I don't even know if that's necessarily challenging to the people who are at that level.
I agree. And I think that goes hand in hand with the never ending XP thing. And one of the reasons why is because we have been driven to end game, and you get to the end and there is an end. It's this state where you're like, another alt. Well, okay, I guess. You almost feel compelled to either do it, or, you know, or you choose not to do it at all and almost not play at all, and I think that's bad. I think Sentinel's Fate is an expansion, like you are hinting at a little bit, left a lot of people shortchanged, I guess. Is that they got to the end and there was nothing at the end? And
it just it went by too fast.
You got to the end too quickly almost.
And it's not because we were trying that much harder to do it fast. I mean, I don't think we blew through the, I don't know. I don't know how to compare, but I feel like I'm just doing my thing and I'm not really in a rush. You know, I mean, of course you're anxious to get going and do stuff, and it's after so long without something to do, you're really anxious to do quests and you're anxious to do instances and whatever and complete things, but I just feel like it doesn't last long enough. And it's not our fault always. Sometimes it is, but not always.
Yeah, I agree that sometimes these prolonged downtimes, and I think too, part of the GU cycle being switched to 3 months has promoted this long down cycle of there's no changes, there's nothing to do. And then there's a burst like Frostfell or another live event like Night of the Dead, and you're so anxious and excited to do something, you log in and then you, not necessarily consciously, but subconsciously, burn through the content because you're so excited to do something new. Then you're left at the end going, okay, I finished that, now what's next? You're almost like a junkie looking for the next fix, and there's nothing to fix you with.
Well, I'm okay with the schedule, but I just wish it was harder, I guess, so that it would last longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. The one of the last things on my list, I have a couple more that are silly, but one of the last serious ones is I want more dangerous places out in the world. I want to risk dying when I go out without anybody with me. I don't feel any risk whatsoever anywhere in Norath, anywhere, exception of maybe, I mean, there really aren't any like contested aggro mobs. Remember back in the day when you'd be walking around Antonica, minding your own business, and from seemingly out of nowhere, Holly Windstalker comes out and starts chasing you, and you can run, but you can't hide. You can run to the other end of the zone, and you will not get away. You will die. It's just a question of where do you want your corpse to be.
I can suggest one place that does happen.
Okay.
If you're trying to do the Frostfell quests in the Evil Cities as a good character, there is a certain sense of
danger
as you're looking around every corner and you open a door and there's an epic guard sitting on a mount on the other side of that door, or you think you're going to zone safely into South Freeport. You're like, phew, okay, I outran those guards, I made it, only to zone in front of a level 94 triple up epic.
Well, I guess I can go out of my way to be in danger, but I don't want to go out of my, I want to just be in danger when I'm out in the world. Like, I don't want to be in danger when I'm in the towns. But the further I get from town, the more dangerous it should be. And I think that's a concept that is completely gone from EQ2. The concept of the further away from town you get, the more dangerous it is. And it's encouraging solo play, which, okay, yeah, I know lots of people solo, so don't jump down my throat about it. I get it. But there are plenty of places to solo. It's at this point, there is nowhere to group other than, in an instance, off in your own little world. Everything's soloable. Everything. Well, I mean, not everything. Okay, I'm exaggerating, but that's my thing. There's almost nothing left in the world that's dangerous. Unless you deliberately put yourself in harm's way by, say, for example, tagging a non-aggro epic, you know, level 97 or whatever the hell raid mob as you run by. You're going to get smacked, of course. But if you just stand there, nothing's going to happen to you. And, you know, you can pretty much just wander through the world with really no danger whatsoever. There are only a few places where there are concentrated, you know, triple up mobs. And a lot of places, they're static. They don't roam or anything. I don't know. I miss it. I miss the danger.
I agree. So a sense of danger when you're running around the world, that yeah. Norrath is a dangerous place.
Exactly.
I agree.
So my last two, I'm sorry I wrote so many. I want to see an EQ2 ad somewhere.
Okay.
And last but not least, I want armadillo pets. Totally selfish, I know. I'm sorry. But I have to say, and maybe this is like a little bit crazy, but it crossed my mind when I read Hrothgar's comment about something when he was explaining about what happened with the Unrest merge. He said something unique to Unrest occurred during the merge. And it totally crossed my mind that maybe they were adding in a secret armadillo pet just for Hallie. I know. I need to get more sleep or something. So yeah, armadillo pets.
So if folks have their own Frostfell wish lists and still want to share those with us, you can certainly email those along to us and we can cover them in our next episode. So do we want to turn our attention to Are You Smarter Than a Delmon?
Absolutely. And I know I am.
All right. We'll see about that in just a few moments. So, Allie, what are our categories for this week's episode 13 of EQ2 Talk? Are You Smarter Than a Delmon?
Well, I went, I sort of gave you an early Frostfell present with these, so you should have fun with both of them. First category is, who am I? We played that one time a few weeks ago, so you're familiar with that one. The second category is memory lane.
Because we had an email earlier that praised the who am I style of questions, I think we're going to go with that one again this week. I'm feeling confident with who am I.
Alrighty. Would you like normal mode or challenge mode?
I want to go hard mode. This is Frostfell, and I'm going hard mode.
All right, challenge mode it is. You have to get flawless on all three of these.
Okay, I have my eggnog and I am ready.
All right. Number one. Now, for those of you who aren't not familiar, this is a little game where I am somebody and Del has to guess who I am based on what I say. Number one. Empowered by my father's wisdom, I escaped the deception of Inaruk's mortal followers who tried to seduce me into the darkness. Eventually, I was bested by fear, hate, war, and disease, and only valor could release me. Who am I?
You are Irolisi.
Awesome! Goddess one pull!
Yes.
One pull, Del. Very nice.
I was stumbling up until the very last line.
All right.
When it said, valor released me.
Okay, good deal. All right, I'm learning actually a lot of lore. Now it goes in one ear and out the other because I have a brain like a sieve, but I'm actually learning a lot of lore in my research for these, so it's kind of fun for me. And I would encourage any of our listeners who want to be smarter than a Delmon, if you have your own ideas and want to do your own research, or even just a suggestion, send it my way. Number two, I was the leader of the strongest of five Ixar tribes. I killed my father. But as they say, what goes around comes around. My own son thwarted my attempt at immortality and trapped my soul inside an amulet. Who am I?
Oh, wow.
Would you like me to read it again?
Sure.
I was the leader of the strongest of five Ixar tribes. I killed my father. But as they say, what goes around comes around. My own son thwarted my attempt at immortality and trapped my soul inside an amulet. Who am I?
I am drawing a complete blank. Can we pass on this one and come back to it?
Sure. So you can have time to Google.
No, I'm not Googling. Okay. I'm really thinking. I'm trying to remember the tribes of the Ixar.
Okay. I think your key there is going to be the strongest of five Ixar tribes. Okay, we're going to move on to number three. This one should be fun.
Okay.
I am quite possibly the most hated of all NPCs in all of Norrath. I'm so famous that Jethel Silverwing once wrote a song about
me. You are Nathan Ironforge.
Oh, you didn't even let me finish and you got it. That's badass, Del.
Well, I got to be honest, I could even go one step further. I knew when you said most hated of all NPCs, but I'm like, okay, she kind of go, is that like real or is that kind of a joke hint? Because I like in a rook being, you know, hate, mm-hmm. He is really the most hated, but that's from a story point of view. All right. Is it okay to interrupt and buzz in early?
Absolutely. You get extra points for that.
All right. That may make up for number two here.
It might. Let me read the rest of it for the listeners. I'm so famous that Jethel Silverwing once wrote a song about me. I'm obsessed with gnolls and joining the guard. Some say I have a future as a punching bag. Who am I?
He does get his comeuppance in the Frostfell zone where he licks a pole, doesn't he?
He gets stuck. Yes, a la A Christmas Story. Wasn't that A Christmas Story?
That it was the Christmas Story movie.
So back to number two. I was the leader of the strongest of five Ixar tribes. I killed my father. But as they say, what goes around comes around. My own son thwarted my attempt at immortality and trapped my soul inside an amulet. Who am I?
I have to say I'm drawing a complete blank on the Ixar. I'm thinking to ROK, and I'm trying to think of the leader of the city there, and it's like not Danik, the other place, Rillus. Ah, Rillus.
Can I give you a hint?
Sure.
Okay, you're going too far into the future. This is more past. This is more something that happened prior to.
All right, then the only guy who I can think of is the one that everybody loves to hate to raid. And what is his name down there? Jeepers, in the bottom of Sebelis. Oh, wow. Khazik Thul. No, not Khazik Thul. I can't think of his name. The guy who you got to watch your power against.
How are you drawing a blank on his name?
I don't know. I can picture him. He stands there with his arms. I have a painting of him in my house in game. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my good. Oh, this is for all the marbles, I think. I don't even know if this is the right answer, and I can't even think of his name.
Does he have laser beam eyes, like my dog?
I cannot think of his name for the life of me. Oh, my goodness.
That's funny. Man, you are getting old, Del.
I am absolutely having an Alzheimer's moment right now.
Senior moment.
I can't even think of the initials.
Wow, really? I think that's, you know what, I think that's that's the pressure getting to you. Because as soon as we're done, you're going to remember. But if you're thinking of who I think you're thinking, you're correct. So it is for all the marbles. No pressure.
I can't believe this one. Give me a minute. Oh, my goodness. He's Overking or...
You really are drawing a blank.
I really am. I can picture him.
I'm actually, now that you're having this much trouble, I'm glad you picked the Who Am I category, because there's no way in hell you would have gotten the other one.
I cannot believe this. I cannot think of this.
We just talked about him last week.
I know. You know what? I was just reading about him.
We talked about him because of the Ranger Mythical.
Veneral Sathir?
Yes. Boy, that was painful.
Veneral Sathir.
Yes.
Finally.
Finally! Jeez, wow. No. Do I have to start looking at nursing homes?
You might. That was painful. I could picture him. I have a picture of him in my house. I have killed him and cried about killing him.
And been killed by him.
And been killed by him many times. So do I get credit for that, even though it took so long?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no time limit on these. So,
oh, okay,
you know,
great. So
you win challenge mode, even though it took you. You had to zerg him. You had to, it took you 4 hours to get it down. But
well, I should be able to take credit from doing Nathan Ironforge too quickly to apply it to the question number two.
Yes, that was good. That was very impressive. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Jethel Silverring song, it's brief, but very amusing. It's part of the Real Men of Norath series. Good stuff.
All right, so that was great. Great questions again, and I wish I had remembered number two a little faster.
Well, you're going to kill me the next time we do this because your memory lane is going to crop up next. Are you smarter than a Delmon? And that one's actually 10 things. It's a little bit of word association, so you have that to look forward to next time.
Well, that won't be until EQ2 Talk number 15.
Yes.
So I don't have to worry about that.
Not yet. By the time we get there, I'm sure you will have forgotten anyway.
Do we have anything else on the docket for episode number 13?
No, we just want to thank all of our listeners for emailing and feedback posting.
Absolutely. So if you have any suggestions, comments, feedback, want to talk about some of the things that we talked here about on lucky episode number 13, you can reach out to us in a couple ways. So first, email. So I'm Delmon at eq2talk.com.
And I'm Allie at eq2talk.com.
And you can also catch us in-game. So for me, that's eq2.unrest.delmon, D-E-L-L-M-O-N.
And I'm eq2.unrest.alicious, A-L-I-S-C-I-O-U-S.
And don't forget, you can also friend us over on Facebook. So there I am, Delmon Dragonhammer.
And I'm easier to find through the EQ2Talk Facebook page.
So, yeah, and you can also like the EQ2Talk show, and we do post stuff up on there about what we've been doing in between episodes, so you can like us there and keep up to date with us that way.
And there's still plenty of time to bid on the Mighty Mugs for Child's Play. Please take a look at our website, eq2talk.com/mugs, and check out the Child's Play description. Maybe it'll put you in the Frostfell spirit.
And finally, let's say a big shout out and thank you to our corporate sponsor this week, the Shake Weight. As seen on TV, get those strong, sexy, sculpted arms in under just 6 minutes a day, Allie. Look at me. I'm huge. I'm shaking right now. I'm so huge. Makes a great stuffing stucker. A stocking stuffer. All right, with that, I think we're out of here. So, Allie, say goodnight.
Goodnight.
No, that's not right. Say goodnight, Allie.
Goodnight, Allie. I blew it. I'm sorry. I was laughing. Oh, my God. Stuffing stucker. Nice.